Holy Spirit. I invite you to come. I need you. Your people need to hear your word. And I ask you in spite of the clumsiness and bumbling of my speaking, that you will speak to your people. For your word accomplishes much, mine nothing. Your word is life. Your word is health to the bones. Your word is light and cuts through all the darkness of the mind and heart. We've come here, Lord, because there's a desire, or much or small, to be taught of the Holy Spirit. For the entrance of thy word giveth light, and only you can give it entrance. Cleanse our hearts. From all that would hinder your word flowing in our midst. Cleanse my lips. Cleanse the ears that would listen. Because your word is so powerful, so wonderful, and yet so easy to miss and to lose. As you spoke of the sower, that the birds come and pick it up, and it's all gone. Never develops, never accomplishes anything. And you said the seed is the word. So let us be wise like Abraham, and drive the fowls of the air away, so that your word can germinate and grow. For we are your people. And you know it more than I, but I would remind you, we're your people. And more you make us dependent upon you. You're our Father. You've brought us forth into life. Feed us. Feed us with the bread of life. Feed us in such a way that we can hear and understand. Because when you speak, Holy Spirit, it's so lovely, so powerful, it's so beautiful. But the words of man accomplish little. And so in your grace and mercy, reach to us, I pray. Let our hearts receive light or instruction or help or encouragement or a word of faith. We might go onward in the path of life in victory. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We won't be using the music now. for the next few services, I'm not sure how long, we were speaking on a subject of guidance, divine guidance. What, when, where, and how? And so, we'll attempt to share it with you. As we look at this wonderful offer of the Holy Spirit, of our Father, to take over in our life and lead us and guide us in the ways of life, in the ways of God. There's a basic scripture we'll use, Romans 8, verse 14. After this class, Lord willing, we'll bring our offerings to the Lord. How many brought your offerings this morning? We're not talking about money, you know. Good. We'll be offering them up a little later. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Corollary, as many as are led by their own will and by their own reasonings, they are not the sons of God. God has chosen not to give us the right to lead our own life. We read in Jeremiah 10:23, Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps. God has not given us that power. He's not given us that right. He could not trust us with that power. One reason is that to be able to lead our own lives rightly, we would have to know the future. And He cannot trust us with the knowledge of the future. He would very much mishandle it. And so, we cannot really lead our own lives because those that do fall into many snares, many problems of life that could be avoided when He leads. I remember one time He spoke to us and told us to leave Argentina on the 16th of March. He doesn't often give me a date so precise, but He did that time. And I didn't like the date. And I thought, well, it doesn't make much difference anyway, so I changed it to the 18th of April, which is a much better date for arriving in San Jose. But then a week or two later, I was in prayer, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, I didn't tell you to change the date, and I didn't give you the 18th of April. So I had to go back and change it back to the 16th of March. And it was a nice thing I did, because the 17th of March, a civil war broke out in Argentina. I wasn't there. You see, we don't know the future. And so He has condescended
the great, great favor, the great blessing to come and just lead our lives. And the sons of God, and that is not, the word is not technon, not little children, because the little children will be automatically led. But it's a higher place, just like in life, our natural life. We come to a higher realm of life when we begin to run our own lives rather than be totally dependent upon our parents. A child has no choice. His father, his mother, take total control and take care of that child. And when he's little, it doesn't even ask him anything about it. It just does it. And the same way with us. In our infancy, spiritual infancy, God watches over us in his great love, takes care. He doesn't tell us what he's doing, but he does it. But as we develop in God, as we grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, then he wants us to learn how to cooperate, just as in natural life. As we grow older, there comes a cooperation between the parent and child. And as they grow still older, it's more than cooperation and obedience. It comes to a place of counseling and heeding the counsel. So they are, who are the sons of God, are led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. They are the guided ones. They are those with a light on their pathway. David prayed a wonderful prayer in the book of Psalms when he said, "Send forth thy light. Send forth thy truth. Let them lead me unto the holy hill of Zion." Send it forth. I need it. A recognition, a complete recognition of his need of light and truth. And both come from God. Both come in his word as he speaks to us. He was one that recognized his need to be led. One that would not trust his own ways. And if and when he did, it would be trouble. And so we come to the place where we learn to be led of God and led of the Holy Spirit. We learn to hear his voice or heed his voice. And we'll get to that later, and it comes in many ways. But the second thing I want to point out is the fact it is not easy to be led of the Spirit. It is difficult to be led of the Spirit. I remember, or I should say in my travelings, I've heard so many, many people, countless, have said to me, "Oh, the Lord told me this, and the Lord told me this, and the Lord said that, and the Lord said something else." And I smile and say, "Oh, yes," knowing that they did not hear the voice of the Lord any more than they hear the voice of a turtle. They do not know. Sometimes some things they tell me are very silly. As a man of God said, Stanley Crodsham said, that if God said everything that people said he said, I would be ashamed of him. It is not easy, because he does not speak with our voice. We have to learn to know the voice of God. And when we learn to know his voice, then we begin to discern what he's saying to us. But it is not easy. Not only because he does not speak in the ways that we are accustomed to speaking to one another, but because very often his directions are not what we would want or what we think is right. I think Brother Denny Jarrett here could correct me if I'm wrong, but One of the hardest things in the world is to learn to fly by instruments. Is that right, Danny? Because we have grown up depending on our five senses, and very often in airplanes, the five senses get all disoriented. And more than one crash has happened because a pilot did not believe his instruments. I remember a friend of mine flew down to Mexico. And he got into some clouds and flew along till the clouds emptied. And as he looked down, he saw that the ocean seemed to be on the wrong side. But he knew that he hadn't changed the direction of his flight. He felt very comfortable with it. He looked down and saw this little city on the wrong side and in the wrong place. He was quite concerned and quite surprised. He said, "I'm going down, look at that." So he descended and went down and down and down till it was the little city of Los Angeles. And it was on the wrong side, but it was on the right side. And he landed and filled up his tank, or otherwise, if he'd gone on the way he was going, he would have landed out in the desert someplace. See, in the clouds, he got turned around. And he thought his compass was wrong, because he knew he hadn't turned the plane. But when there's no place to orient, he got turned around. It's very easy to do, because our own feelings come in the way. And if they don't believe their compasses and their orientational instruments, and they just believe their feelings, they're usually due for trouble. We've got to move to a place where we can believe the directions that we receive and not just what our feelings are. It has been said, and I'll probably repeat it more than once in this series, the great problem is not finding out the will of God, though God is faithful. The great problem is knowing our own wills. You see, we listen to our own hearts. And there's a strange scripture in the Proverbs. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. That's not a nice scripture, I know. And so we'll just throw it out. But we need to listen, because our own heart is a strange thing. I don't know why it does this, but it's a deceptive organ within us. It fools us. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And that wicked, deceptive heart of mine, when I inquire of it, am I going well, heart? Is anything wrong? He will always tell me everything is fine. You're doing just right. It's other people that are wrong. In fact, I think that's a script he usually goes by. There's always other people. And I don't know why, in cooperation with my own heart, I like to believe it. And so I become deceived somehow. But we have something else to go by, a good instrument called the Scripture, the Word of God. That helps a lot. It helps to straighten out things when I get the feeling this is the way. Again, the Scripture says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. And so it's necessary. And sometimes, I remember one time in the country of Uruguay, I was traveling along a beautiful paved road. We're going to a next large city. And we came to where that road stopped at a T. Road went both ways, but not straight ahead. And there was a sign. The sign did not do much good because it pointed right straight out into the field. Someone had turned it. So we knew that wasn't right. We could reason that out. And looking at the roads, the nice paved road we were on went into a nice paved road that went to the right. To the left was a gravel road, which we weren't interested in. And we went on the paved road about 5 miles, and then the pavement ended. Well, that's not uncommon down there. So we went on the gravel road for about 10 miles, and then the gravel ended. Well, that did surprise us. We went on a dirt road for about 5 miles, and then came into a bog. And we were fighting through that bog. And here came a truck through the bog going the opposite way. And we wondered, how in the world to go to this fine city? We go to a road like this. And we talked to the truck driver. We stopped him and we said where we're going. He said, well, you're not going there. I just came from this little place out here way out in the country. With my truck taking provisions out there. So, well, where is the right road? Well, he says, you remember back there where there was a T? Yes, well, you just went the wrong way. That was all. Now, it seemed right. But all it did was get us bogged down in a lot of mud. There's a way that seemeth right. But the end. And it's the end that we really want, isn't it? And so there is a difficulty of being led by the Spirit, being able to hear and to understand and to know. It's something we have to learn. It's something that's why it says the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. It's something that has to be learned to know. But it is a wonderful place to be. Then there's another thing, and that is time. Not only to know when or where, where or what, but it's also to know when. There is a timing. One of the very sharp lessons I received in life on the timing element was a very sad one. There was a great, wonderful move of the Holy Spirit in a town called Klamath Falls, Oregon. And there was a pastor that was leading this group of people. His name was DeVree. And we had a visit from a missionary from Brazil who was a very inspiring man of God. And he inspired our pastor. I don't know if he did it willfully. I don't think he did. But just his ministry and the things he told, what God was doing in Brazil, inspired Brother DeVree that he must go to Brazil. There was a beautiful revival move in the church, about 500 members at that time. And there was a precious, precious spirit there. God was doing lovely things. And the church was devastated. But no way he could be persuaded that it was wrong. So up he goes. He gets another man in his place who did not know the ways of God. And 3 or 4 years later, that church had 34 people in it. On he went to Brazil. He was there less than a year, and his little boy got very, very ill. And praying much, he finally was able to spare his life. And a little while later, his wife got very ill, and she was in the hospital. He was praying desperately for her, and God spoke to him. He said, you take her home, or I will not heal her here. So greatly distressed, he took her home. Went back to that same city, tried to start anew, but it was never became the same again. I saw him about 15 years later at a conference. I said, Brother DeVree, what really happened back there? Didn't God speak to you? He said, yes, that wasn't the problem. I said, what was the problem? He started to weep. He said, I miss God's time. I miss God's time. I miss God's time. The Lord took him home a couple years after that. But I never forgot. I never forgot. Later it was good because when God spoke and told me to go to Japan, it wasn't time. 25 years later, I did go. But then it was time. Timing is so important. It's when. And so, to be led of the Holy Spirit, these are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. There's one more item, too, that's necessary to include in this. And that is an honesty that will let me admit my helplessness. I don't know. Many people speak to me and they are far too positive. There is a saying, it's not scripture, but it's a good saying, only fools are positive. When they speak with me, they are far too positive, too sure. There's a scripture, Isaiah 42:16. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. And verse 19. Who is blind? My servant. Or deaf? As my messenger that I sent. Who is blind? As he that is perfect. And blind as the Lord's servant. It's a strange scripture, isn't it? What's it saying? It's saying that he will lead us as a blind person is led. He will, the blind man taps out and finds his step and, oh, that's all right. So I go here and then I go here and then I go here and then I go, no, I don't go there. Wait a minute. I go here. In other words, every step is tested, isn't it? He knows he doesn't know the way. He's already admitted to himself, I don't know, but I have to go. And so I'll test out the way as I go. He said, that's the way I'll lead the blind. My servant is blind. The one that's perfect, he's blind. He's come to recognize his blindness. Jesus said, the blind are leading the blind. Leave them alone. Let them fall in the ditch. Oh, that's cruel. Not really. If you keep trying to help them on the road, they'll never discover that the blind man is leading another blind man. Let them fall in the ditch and they discover, hey, how'd we get here? You see what I mean? He said, just leave them alone. They'll discover that that's not the way to go. It wasn't being mean. It's just being wise. I was in the city of Montevideo many years ago. And a man stepped out of a door and collided with me. Not strongly, but lightly. And he said, excuse me, and walked on. And I looked, and I realized he was blind. But he was walking on so jauntily, whistling, actually, as he went. I said, well, this is strange. Right here in the middle of a big city, in a city street, he's walking as if he was not blind. He wasn't going as a blind man. He was walking right along. I said, this is strange. I'm going to follow this man. So I walked behind him. And he went about two blocks, perhaps three. And then there came a place where they were repairing the sidewalk. They had a little rope about this high, colored rope, spread around the place so people could see it. And here was fresh cement. And he was heading right towards it. I said, oh no. He'll sure go straight into that cement and probably trip over the rope. But I knew that if I took hold of his arm and stopped him and redirected him and took him around that place, I'd cause all the blindness to descend on him again. And all this jaunty pretend everything's going right would fall away. I hated to do it, but I couldn't let him fall into it. So I stepped up and caught his arm, said, just a moment, sir, and explained to him in Spanish, explained to him what was going on, and led him around it. But after I let go of his arm, out came his cane, and again. Sometimes we pretend we know we're not blind, but we are. We are. It's not in man to direct his steps. We'll never become led of God until we come to honestly admit, I don't know. I need help. Man is a wonderful creation of God. But there's some things God did not create within us. And as I said, one is a knowledge of the future. We don't know what lies ahead. This blind man had no idea that if he kept on as he was, he would end up face forward in the cement, fresh cement. He did not know that. He'd been there before many times. Apparently that was a portion of the street he knew quite well. And for some reason was able to keep himself from going to one side or another. He was doing very, very well. And some people, because they seem to be doing very well, don't realize what is ahead. What lies ahead that I don't know? That's the thing. I'm going fine now. Look, everything's going fine. Everything's going for me. And it just shows it. Just a minute. Don't be too sure ever. Walk as a blind person. Say, then I'll make things straight before them. Then I'll fix it up. I'll guide them. I'll be with them. I was in Germany in this conference. And in this conference, three blind men were attending. They were friends. They had come from another city. They were very confident and were very bold to come as three blind men from another city, but they made it. And we were sitting in the... at a long service and sitting in the, I think they were singing, if I remember at the time. And one blind man needed to go to the restroom. He spoke to his friend, and his friend, who had been there before several times actually, knew where the restroom was. And so he took his friend, the blind man, took the other blind man, and led him towards the door that led to a hall where the restroom was. Now the door was half opened, not fully opened. So he tapped his way and found the door opened. And said, taking his other friend by the hand, he led him. But it was only half opened. And he led his friend smack into the edge of the door, cracked him in the nose. It's what happens when the blind are led by the blind. It seemed right. Seemed right. But don't let a blind man lead you. Nose and doors, when they connect, aren't pleasant. And so we have to admit the truth. It's a fact, I don't know the way. I'll bring the blind by a way that they know not. I will lead them in paths they have not known. But I'll make darkness light before them. And I'll straighten out the crooked things. These things will I do unto them. I will not forsake them. That's a lovely scripture. You know, so many times, the Lord has led me that way. And after I get through trying out every step and every step and every step and every step and every step, I finally get there and I say, hallelujah. The Lord led me. Hallelujah. And people hear me say, the Lord led me, but they don't know how. They think some mystic thing. Well, it is, but not like people think. Now, there's times he'll show them. I remember one time I was in the city of Mar del Plata, and I was sitting there in front of a fireplace, and the Lord began to show me what was going to happen. Show me 6 months. 6 months. And I, just like a video. I see everything that was going to happen. And I talked to the family and the people with us, and I said, this is going to take place. And then that's going to cause this to take place. And this will operate there. And I spelled out the whole 6 months. And that's just the way it was. But after those 6 months, it was dark. I knew nothing. In fact, I felt the Lord said to go to a certain place. Just the day before I got there, the leader of that place was in a car wreck, was in a hospital. And there's no reason for I should be there. So I drove out of the place. We came into a highway, and we said, which way? East or west? And finally, I took a coin and threw it. Heads east, tails west. So I went west. And for the next over 6 months, we didn't know one day ahead where we would be or what we would be doing. It was quite an odyssey. We had our children with us. Sometimes we slept in the car. We didn't know one day ahead. But at the end of that time, we were just in the right place. Just in the right place. But every day, we just had to try all this. Everything seems right here. So go on another day, same way. And it all worked out. In fact, because of that, it's where Robert found his wife. If we'd gone east, they would have never met. All worked out fine, but we didn't know a day ahead. And so we have to realize that we don't know. And the Lord goes on to say in verse 19, who is blind? My servant. They recognize their helplessness, their vulnerability, their need to be led. And to be led every day, as I said before, when I find people very positive, I'm fearful. I'm fearful. A blind man is not positive. We have to recognize our helplessness. Or death. Oh, how many times I've listened and listened and listened and heard nothing. Who's death? That's my messenger that I send. Would you hear that? So often I've heard people say, the Lord spoke to me and told me this, and I cringe. I hope it was God. Because I find it very difficult to hear. Very, very difficult to hear. My ears are tuned to a certain wavelength. And it isn't often his voice is in that wavelength. There's a few times in Scripture we find he spoke in the wavelength where everybody could hear him. On Mount Sinai, for instance. At another time, he spoke and said, this is my beloved son. And people said it thundered. So they did hear something, didn't they? And he speaks in such strange ways. We'll get to that later in this series. But there is a deafness. And so It's we have to recognize the, not in a sense of doubt, not doubt in God or Spirit or His faithfulness, doubt in myself. I don't know. But I have to go on. And so there's a faith that He will lead me in my blindness. And He will reach me in my deafness, because He's God. He's my Father. And because we trust in Him, and because we have recognized, show me, I don't know, you take me, you lead me, you guide me. And so I must go, because life never stops. But we go because there's a faith that He will lead me. And in that faith, there's such wonderful things happen, and so silent. Now, I've heard so many stories in different places in my own life. I'll just tell you one. I've told you before. Let me illustrate it with this. I was in Israel, and I have learned in Israel, or in the Far East, Far East and Near East, be careful where you eat. We have some rules we go by, and we've never gotten sick unless we break the rules. And I did break the rules in Jericho one time. It was very, very hot. And I bought some ice cream. And I wish I hadn't. For the next 3 days, I didn't want to look at ice cream. Or anything else. Except the restroom. But I have learned. And so we were in Israel. It was very, very hot. And I was with Mike Reed and with Robert and Jean and Eleanor. And so we wanted to get something cold to drink. And we went looking. We couldn't find a place, really. And we got to one place. It was kind of a milk bar. They served milkshakes and things like that. And they said, oh, here's a place. Let's go in. But I learned one thing. If a place doesn't look real clean while you're eating, it's going to be less clean in the kitchen. That's always true. Don't go in the kitchen when you go to restaurants. And so, it just didn't look quite clean enough, and I'd had enough experience, I didn't want it. I said, no, it's not clean enough. Oh, come on, come on. No, it's not clean enough. Well, look, we're thirsty, I know. They kept insisting. Finally, I said, well, go ahead if you want to. I'll stay outside, I'll wait for you. Well, if you're not going, we won't either. So we walked back to the hotel, ordered a Coca-Cola or something, and we hadn't even opened the bottle. We heard this boom, a big explosion. People started running. So we quickly drank our drink and went out and joined the throng. And come to find out, the very milk bar we were going to be in, there was a bicycle parked in front of it loaded with plastic explosives. It went off. Several were killed. Over 50 injured. And that was a milk bar that wasn't a milk bar anymore.
Just didn't look clean enough.
No word. Now God said, don't go in there. Oh, that would be nice. Thank you, Lord. It didn't do that. That's why it's hard to hear God, because He speaks in such strange ways. Sometimes just inclinations. Sometimes just an idea pops in your head suddenly. For instance, I was in Ireland, and this woman had just had a sort of a shattering experience. We were having a meeting in her home, and she told us how a little while before that she had planned to go about 6 blocks or 8 blocks to a store. And as she closed the door, she went about 2 blocks and said, it's getting chilly. I think I better go get my coat. So she went back to get her coat. While she was getting her coat, she heard an explosion. Well, that's fairly often in Ireland. She went back to the store, and before she got there, multitude of people, a bomb had been in the very store she would have been in, and they were scraping people off the walls. She went home to get a coat. That was a little bit cold. Strange way. She didn't hear a word. God didn't say, go to another store. There's a bomb in that one. No, He just said, Go get your coat. And she didn't even think it was God speaking to her. He speaks in strange ways. Who is deaf as my servant, as my messenger that I send? But how wonderful when that confidence in Him and healing. When healing. And so as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so we go on. I want to speak a little bit on false guidance. 2 John 1:7. Many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. There are many deceivers entered into the world. 2 Corinthians 11:14. No marvel. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Many deceivers. There's many false prophets. There's many people like to guide other lives, spiritually speaking. God told me, or I had this dream about you. You know, it's very interesting. When I was with the Assemblies of God for many years, I was sent out to the mission field under them. They were a very fine group of people, fine group of churches. And they had a large missionary program. At that time, they had nearly 1,000 missionaries on different fields. And I'm sure now they have more. And they learned something. One of the key questions when they questioned a missionary candidate was, how or why do you think you are called to the mission field? Some would have visions. Some would have a whole group of scriptures. Some would have writing on a wall. All kinds of revelations. But once in a while, there would be one that would give the answer, "Sir, I don't know. I just have to go." And strange enough, that was the right answer. "I don't know. I just have to. I don't know why." Because they found out all those people with the visions and with revelations and writings on the wall and dreams and visions, they get out there and they get into trouble. They seldom lasted more than 3 years. There's much false guidance. That's why we have to confirm things. That's why we have to confirm things. Confirmation is a wonderful word. Don't lose it. There's lots of people that want to show their spirituality by guiding your life and tell that God showed them this and God showed them that. And it can get very clever because Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. In Argentina, we had a young woman in Bible school. At the same time, Annie's sister was in Bible school. And Annie was having some very lovely visions that were of God and had proved to be of God. And this young lady, she began to have visions. Marvelous visions. Glorious visions. And it was my practice at that time, when anyone had these revelations, they had them come to me and tell me about it, and I would write it down in a book. And all the initiations I wrote down in a book before they ever went anyplace else. The same with this young lady. All these visions, she'd be in heaven and she'd be in the beautiful places and she'd see the beautiful angels and she'd talk about them and she'd talk with them and what he said to her and what she said to him and all these lovely, lovely things. At first, I was suspicious. Something didn't smell right. Now, I know that writing in a book doesn't have a smell. And you can't smell a vision either. But something didn't smell right. And so I watched it very carefully as I kept careful note. And they got more wonderful and more than two or sometimes three a day. Oh, she was above cloud 9. She was about cloud 15. I went to another missionary and I said, I'm getting concerned. I said, there's some little details, not very big. I said, what do you think about it? I said, I remember one, she saw this angel with six wings and two were here and two were here and then two were here. Well, how are you going to fly that way? And then I said, Lord, something's wrong here. But she was so involved, so high, so glorious, so wonderful. Up there at cloud 15, nobody else ever got there. So I knew that I'd have to be very careful with her, a destroyer. So I said, Lord, begin to show me some things that make me, first of all, that I am positive, because I don't want to hurt her. And so she came out and said, in this vision, the Lord's weeping and said to her, there is no one in all of India that really, really loves me. I wrote it down. About 2 weeks later, she comes out with, the Lord said to her, there's only 8 people in all of India that really, really love me. After all these many years, suddenly 8 people get really, really loving him. That's very strange, isn't it? I wrote it down. And then what really the enemy is after. She was told not to tell people, but it's hard to get people never to tell what they want to tell. And she was beginning to slip out of her, and that was that this man, there in our local situation, or this woman, they really love me. This one doesn't. And that was causing problems. That's what the devil really likes to do. He'll take you along a nice path until all of a sudden he'll drop it down. I said, Lord, no, this has to stop. Now give me something that I can take to her to prove to her that it is all false. So she comes out with one of the young men, he is bound by the spirit of nicotine. He hasn't smoked since he's been saved, but before that he smoked so much he was bound by the spirit of nicotine. I wrote it down. The young man's name was Joseph. I called Joseph in. I said, Joe, tell me something. Before you were saved, did you ever smoke much? He said, no, not much. Why? I said, how much is not much? He said, why? I said, I just want to know. He said, well, to tell you the truth, 3 times. All 3 times made me so sick I couldn't stand it. So then I took it to her. It took her about 2 years to get over it. But she got over it. In fact, I saw her not many months ago. 2 months ago. The devil himself will transform himself to an angel of light. We have to test. We have to confirm. We have to prove. First of all, we have the book to go by. When things don't match up with the Word, God's always in perfect harmony. He will never tell you one thing today and then something just the opposite tomorrow. his truth. I know people that carry around a prophecy in their pocketbook or their wallet, sometimes for years, waiting for these things to all come to pass. They will never come to pass, because God didn't say it. There is false guidance. There are those that think they hear from God, but they're not hearing from God. They're hearing from their own hearts, their own spirit, or even worse, from the spirit of evil. And so we have to test things. We have to know. That's why I said God just takes care of his little ones because they're little. But as we grow up in God, he expects us to grow up in all ways, not just in one or two ways. I mean, in the natural life, there are retarded children, very sad to have or see or watch and realize the pain that's involved, but there are. And their bodies grow up. But just their bodies grow up. The rest doesn't grow. And the same in churches. The same in, there's people that they grow up and they're fine Christians and so on, but the knowledge of God, the light, the revelation, the understanding, never grows up. And they're just children 20 years later. Just little dependent children 20 years later. They have to be led, and helped, fed, and guided. And so there is a realm of false guidance. And I won't be mentioning this much because that's negative, and I don't like to play too much on the negative, just so that you'll know that it's there. Place for us to realize it is there. And we turn away from it, and we leave it, and we know that anything that comes prophetically, someone had a vision, or someone had a dream, or someone had a revelation, and comes and tells you that God has told them this is true, this is true, and this is true, well, that's fine. I know some people that prophesy. I've heard prophecies in churches, many places I've gone, people seem to like to prophesy some places. And I remember one place in Argentina, this woman prophesied, "Yea, thus saith the Lord. Yea, it is I, the Lord, that doth speak. Not me, it is not I, it is I, the Lord." And she went to quite an extent to try to prove it really was God speaking through her. For the man in the... in Hawaii, that a young brother rose to prophesy. "Yea, thus saith the Lord." And just then, a baby close by gave out a squeal. He looked, got distracted. "Yea, what doth the Lord say?" Confirm it. Confirm it. We are blind. You won't get much trouble if you're honest enough to know. I'm blind. In that world, these eyes don't work. I need help. And he is the faithful one. He will help. As long as I don't trust in my own reasoning, because it's not in man that walketh to order his own steps aright. Shall we stand? Father, I'm so thankful that you'll help us, because I need help. And we need help. And we need much help, because we don't know the way. That road that leads to the high hill of Zion. Only truth and light can guide me that place. And that's where I want to go. Lead me, Father. Lead me. And let me be leadable. Let me listen even if I don't like what I'm hearing. Let me be true, even if other people think I'm wrong. Let me hear. And let me be guided. Let me be submissive enough that you can guide me. And I won't insist on my own way. Or try to work it around so you're saying what I want to hear. Because we have much to learn. I ask help in the name of Jesus. Amen.